This is Speaking of Event, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Carrie Garbus.
Well, we are deep into season two, and by deep, I mean it's episode 3 of season 2. And how awkward, this is the first time this has happened, me and the guest are wearing the same thing. This never happens. We didn't plan it. I didn't email him and say, hey, put this on. No, we are both rocking Ovation swag. I've got a vest on. It's gray or gillet. If you're not American, you may call this a gillet. And my guest has it looks like a fleece, a black fleece. Yes. Zip up. A fleece zip up. Yep. With the Ovation logo on it. However, here's the incredible thing, everybody, is that my Ovation logo for Ovation Communication LLC, speaker training, fabulous company, is a little bit different than the logo that my guest has on, which is for Ovation Inc., which is, guess what? A totally different company. And guess what? They're an event company. Okay, I'm just gonna give everybody a second for their brains to explode. Oh, maybe my producer Tom can put in a big explosion sound in here. How about this? Okay, whatever was dubbed in was probably way better. All right, so here's the deal. This has been a fantasy episode of mine since day one on Speaking of Events. Not only was I excited to sort of have the meta, the other universe Ovation, although you're also in Massachusetts, company represented here on Speaking of Events. This has been a long time coming because for many years, we, the Ovation speaker trainers, have gotten calls for Ovation events. And so it was my joy to finally get connected to our guest of the day. This person, everybody, you are in luck. This human is kind and smart and energetic and knows how to make himself feel good and others around him. We got on just a few minutes ago, and right away he said, I've got to toot my own horn, and here's why. And it was, that's the kind of positive energy I think we all need, especially in our industry. So please welcome, my pleasure to finally have the Vice President of Sales at Ovation Inc., not Ovation Communication LLC, getovation.com, by the way. It is the Vice President of Sales, Peter Gentile. Welcome, hi, Peter.
Carrie, so happy to be here. And I have to say, what a welcome. My grandmother would be so proud. I'm sort of blushing here, but what an opportunity to connect with you. You know, certainly Ovation Inc., experiential event production agency, connecting with you and the great communications and work that you and your folks do. It is a little bit of a colliding of two worlds together. And it's an exciting time, as you said, here in the event space. There's so much happening going on. You mentioned, I appreciate you saying kind. Thank you for that. Kindness to me is like a big deal. I have kids of my own, and it's one of the things we talk about a lot is just trying to be kind. Everybody's going through stuff, good, bad, and otherwise. So kindness first, and we start there, we can probably land in a good place. But I'm happy to be here with you this morning.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, thank you for being here. And absolutely, kindest first. I am all for that. And there are a lot of things going on. You were just saying some exciting stuff. Would you share with our audience a little bit about what you just shared with me?
Yeah, I was just expressing, it's an exciting time. You know, people have recognized the idea that we're back together again and we can do it. We can do it safely. There's definitely some precautions that may come, and folks unfortunately may walk away from these moments, maybe being sick, you know, in some capacity. But I think we're also seeing that the return from that is maybe not at what it once was. And it's really about looking for new ideas and new opportunities. We're being engaged by a wide range of new customers, who have done these things before, but they realize it's different and they want to think about their event differently and really understand how they can make it impactful all the way through, not just from the main stage, but really connect in so many ways. Experiential seems to be kind of the buzzword of the day right now, if you will, and it means a lot of things to a lot of people. And that's where I spend a lot of my time with clients is, what does it mean to you? And sometimes it means we want to have an ice cream truck out front. And other times they want a completely dynamic interactive experience with their products through 3D visuals. So it can really be so many things, but ultimately what it is it's giving your users a different and unique experience than they've had before with you, your product, your customers, with each other. And sometimes the real message in those things is don't overthink it. Sometimes more simple, straightforward ideas are best because they're easily executed and people can grasp on. So, but yeah, a lot of fun stuff happening.
Excellent. I'll take an ice cream truck any day of the week.
Listen, you can't go wrong. It's one of it's one of my guilty pleasures as I've gotten older. I think I always liked it as a kid. It's my thing now. Like I don't buy it because if it's in the house, I'll go buy with a scoop and a spoon and just have, you know, 10 spoons of it. Like, I don't know why I don't have a bowl. It makes me feel better to eat in smaller quantities and eat more.
Right. So. Well, it's contained, right? And I get it. So what if you're talking to anybody, you're talking to the world, Peter, yeah. What is the one thing you wish more people knew about events?
I think if there's one thing, I mean, look, I think the collective idea about events is it's an opportunity to gather together to do something important, right? So it could be celebrate, could be launch, it could be connect on any of those things. But I think it's really, to me, the one thing I wish people would put more focus on is the opportunity for better human connection. And what I mean by that, and it can happen in a lot of ways in an event, doesn't just mean you and I sitting and having a talk with each other or shaking hands or hugging, whatever. But maybe it's not always somebody standing up on a stage in front of 500 people and talking at them for 4 hours. Like, maybe it's smaller incremental presentations and they're in the audience with smaller groups, or there's little focus groups you can bring into larger settings. Again, I just think those are the places where we're seeing more dynamic relationships. I talked to a customer yesterday who they had their first customer event in September. And I think the goal of always of those is revenue at some capacity, right? They want to,
sure.
It's all a time to shine the customers and make them feel good and bring them into the family and show them your products. But at the end, you want leads that your sales team can go like drive revenue. And she said it was amazing for her executive team to see the amount of revenue booked in the first quarter just from that meeting. And what she said, and I thought this was really smart, is she said, we had 750 people in person. We had 1,500 people online, and we made it easy. We didn't try to overthink the hybrid thing. What it was is we streamed all the presentations. We made them available. We asked for people's feedback. So they were engaged. They got what they needed. On site, we had a very brief general session, and then we broke into 3 smaller groups that rotated, but they were much more dynamic sessions. So the CEO and the chief revenue officer talked to the customers about the product plans, smaller group, 200, a lot of dynamic. They weren't even on the stage. They were on the floor walking around with microphones.
Wow.
One of the other rooms was the marketing support team for partners. Same thing. And the idea there, we were very purposeful when we thought of the stage idea. Because when you're on a stage, what you're saying to somebody is, ultimately, I'm up here talking at you down. I'm more important than you. They're like, that's just the deal. I'm more important than you because I'm up here and you're listening to me. And what you do when you eliminate the stage and you're all now at the floor level is it's now a conversation. And she said that they got more feedback from people that they heard from the leadership they wanted to. They had FaceTime with the people they needed, and they got more certainty in the product roadmaps than they did out of these big dynamic sessions. I just thought it was brilliant because she said we just had to be different. Now, that doesn't mean that's the answer for everybody, but there's something to be looked at there. We're just trying to be unique and thoughtful, you know?
Yes, and the same formula, you're right. The same formula doesn't always work for everybody, different companies, different goals. And
in some cases, that's the deal. You got to stand on stage and just sing the song. So
right.
That works, you know, that works too, always.
Yes. I do that a lot. I stand on the stage and sing the song. Often.
That's right.
Often.
That's right.
How yes. did the speakers, how did they deal with that? Did they handle that well? That's a different.
Yeah, you know what? Tone. You bring up a real, let's visit on this one for a minute, because I think this is an important topic, and I would call it the, you know, you think about an event, they say the attendee journey, that's another big thing. What's the attendee journey? How do we touch it?
Great. Right.
I would argue it, or at least put up for discussion, the idea of speaker journey, right? Is what's the journey of your presenters to be part of your content story? And in some cases, it's like, look, Kerry, you're the CEO. You just have to stand up and have the loudest voice and have the biggest pictures and really set the tone. Okay. But in this case, it was really about engagement. It was less about saying, I'm the CEO, look at me. It was more about, look, we're partners in this discussion. I want to share ideas. And so it was a very defined speaker journey, meaning it wasn't just create your PowerPoints, share them, show up on site, we'll rehearse them with the clicker and off you go. It was much more about how do you stand in front of a group that you're used to being above, right? Keep eye contact at a space that feels good. You still have confidence monitors that you can see the things you need to, but not look like you're reading.
Right.
But be free enough that you can know, hey, it's time to like walk around and go, Tim, that customer in the fifth row, I need to go stand right at his table and talk. Like, so part of it was just enabling them to do that and giving them the power. The other part was rethinking the presentation content. Because it was less about standing up and saying, we are XYZ technology and here's our biggest dynamic, colorful thing that you can see. Wow. It was a lot more about how, you know, where have we succeeded together? What are the stories that are important for you to hear? What do you need to know? So when we speak about presenter journey, there's a couple things to address. One is being sure, or at least giving them some insight into your content and your goals so that they can be aligned. Giving them some level of direction. And I don't care if it's the CEO or the chairman of the board. Everybody around them makes you feel afraid of them. They're just people too, and they want insight. So being clear about, you know, things like formats. Is it 16:9? Is it widescreen? How can you help them make that presentation, you know, more clear? And then really giving them insight into what they can expect on site before they get there. That's one of the things I would say is a little secret sauce. Don't let them just show up and understand, oh, so the stage is 80 feet wide? Holy smokes, how do I, you know, get some buy-in and some clarity there? What we generally do is we have speaker, pre-show speaker rehearsals and conversations. So we try to bring everybody in, even if it's the handler. Say, listen, let Kerry know the stage is 20 deep by 80 wide. Here's a picture of it. They're going to be monitors here. This is what it would look like. I just feel like that's a place if you really lean into those presenters and not just your executives, because you do. But when you have customers, right, these are the people that are speaking with you and for you. You know, hey, Ovation LLC, I couldn't do it without them. They're the best. This is how they help me. You got to make it easy for them. So putting focus there is important. Make sure there's the right technology available. They're clear on the timeframes and then how you work together on site.
That's spot on. And from the speaker trainer's perspective, if the event professional can provide us with all that information, that their speakers are going to come in and look like rock stars. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, the most critical thing, particularly with executives' time, right, because they have very little and it's all valuable, is if you can just set them up for success in the moments you have them, like know what to expect, be ready when they walk in, be fully prepared to just jump, here's click this, do that, let's go.
Yep.
And then know who's around them that you can continue communicating with. They will walk away feeling okay.
Yes, absolutely. So. Have you ever witnessed a time that you've had that a speaker has bombed, for lack of a, do you have any speaker disaster stories?
Well, let's talk about it. Is it bombed? Is it gone off the rails? Is it, there's been a few things. I mean, we can talk about it from a couple levels. There's the technology. Well, actually I can give you a couple and a funny little story too.
Would love that.
So from a technology level, where speakers usually fall down is they don't rehearse. Huh. I do this all the time. Hey,
preach, Peter, preach.
This is, hey, I'm Peter Gentile. I speak 5 days a week. I do this all the time. I know what to expect. Just give me the clicker and get out of my way. Okay.
Oh, please.
I'm telling you, like we do our absolute best to mandate at least a click through because, and usually what it is this, let me see if I have something. I have my headphones. So let's say this is your clicker.
Yep.
There's two buttons on it. We only usually like you to use one, the forward button, green. If you want to go backwards, it's a verbal cue. Back one slide, please. What someone does is they push the button and then it doesn't automatically react. They push the button again and again, 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 and before you know it. So there's two things I'd say in that is it's why we have a graphics operator backstage who rehearses with you. So regardless how many times you click it, you know what's happening. But the technology and the way they use it, and if they don't listen, that's where it goes awry. I have had a person who was doing a technology demo on the main stage and was using his own work secured laptop. We couldn't bring one in, had to use theirs. He had his, you know, to screen, we had it tested, we ran it, rehearsed it, whatever. Apparently he activated some personal video file in the middle of the program. Now it wasn't pornographic or anything, but it was super like not appropriate at the moment. Like, so that has happened. And I think one of the things that we had learned from that lesson now is when we do those things with customers, we ask them for a clean laptop with the only thing on it being the demonstration, access to the internet and the file itself.
Right.
Period. Yes. Period. And that was 15 years ago. So it's, I will tell you a presenter story that is funny, kind of, but it was somebody who just thought they knew better. So we had a sales kickoff we were doing with this technology company. And one of the things we did over the course of the week is the theme was all in. And we had these boards. They were like the size of a door frame, like 4 foot wide, eight foot long. We laid them on tables, painted black. And you'd walk up to the table and the brand colors at the time were like purple, blue, green, sort of neon-y. Put on a rubber glove. You dip your hand in whatever color you like, put it down. And then you take a paint pen and say, Peter Gentile, Boston, all in. I'm going to crush my quota in, you know, whatever. And then we mounted these all up on the stage. So they hung down. So you had 10 of them across the stage. And we had a drape in front of it. And the CEO was going to get up and say, this was his pronouncement, was to say, we're going to be a $1 billion company next year. And here's how we're going to do it. Kabuki drop, boom. There's all the things.
Yeah.
So we said to him, and what he was supposed to do on stage was there was a square tile. And he was going to put on his own glove, white, do, you know, $1 billion company, go like this.
Yeah.
We said, but here's
and then hold it up. Yep.
Here's the thing. Behind you, you're going to have hung panels that swing if you touch them. There's nothing behind them, and the stage is significantly high. You will fall. Are we clear? I personally said that to him 4 times. He gets up on the stage. I still remember this. He had this, it had to be this super expensive suit on, and you'll see why I tell you that in a minute. He stands up, puts his glove in, and all he's going to do is make the move right there. Boom. You see him, he turns around and he wants to like walk up and put it on the thing with his team.
Oh.
And he does. The guy falls through. Luckily, we had 2 guys backstage that caught him because he was going to land on a lift.
Mm-hmm.
He falls down, he jumps up, and he's got like white paint all over his, you know, you know it's a ridiculously suit. And it was one of those, like, you see him, you're like, I'm at the tech table. I go, no, don't turn around. Oh, he did it. And in 6 months, he was gone. Now,
he from the company, not gone. Not gone because of like internal injuries.
No, what happened was that happened, right? And then we were supposed to do an analyst meeting for them. Canceled just for some whatever. And then profiles, he's sort of like, I feel like maybe leadership was like, that was embarrassing. Like,
yeah, well, yeah.
And I just never forget that the feeling I had when I saw him like turn. I'm like, he's going to do it. He's doing that. I can't believe he's doing it. Like, so that was a case of we couldn't protect him from himself.
Right.
He just thought he knew better. We are there to help like you. We're there to help to make sure that they do their absolute best, that they have every opportunity to succeed. We remove all the obstacles we can. When we ask them to stay in certain places, it's because they'll look the best and they don't walk out of the light. Or so we really do try to be an active and, you know, supportive and thoughtful partner that way. So
As I said, when you started talking about this, about how they need to rehearse, that of course is our big thing, right? People bring us in so their speakers rehearse. I mean, that's sort of, that's it. That's what we do. We help people
rehearse. You live the value of them, right?
And also I'm giving a TED talk. I booked a TED talk on the rehearsal process. I'm recording next month in February. It'll drop sometime. I'll send it to you. You can send it to everybody. You know, it's fine.
Terrific. And
here's my question. What else in the event process would bode well from rehearsal? Really? And by that, I don't mean speaker rehearsal, standing up and speaking.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things. Anything that has to do with a demonstration of technology, process, or product, right? That definitely needs, and again, maybe you bucket that into the speaker rehearsal piece, but I think part of it is the technology demonstration. And it's important for production partners to have a chance to work with you through that. So, you know, it's hard when somebody comes up and plugs in their laptop and says, okay, we're ready to go. It's like, well, what's going to happen here? Like, are we going to start? Am I going to play a music thing? And then so having sort of organization, I would say, you know, run of show top to bottom with the tech team, production team is absolutely critical. It's actually more important to do that before your rehearsals begin with your executives and your participants. They should never come in to rehearse if the show hasn't been put together yet. It just doesn't make good use of their time, and it doesn't help your team to understand how to work rhythm together. So that's one. The other is the breakouts, honestly. I don't feel like folks put any effort in many cases into rehearsing the breakouts. I think what they do is they say, Peter, you're assigned to room 6 on Tuesday. Get your presentation to Carrie, bring a backup on thumb drive and just, I don't know, go in there and they'll figure it out. Okay. That's not effective. what we generally find is we try to organize it. Now there's two paths with us with this is we try to organize it from a technology standpoint, so it's clear what's in the room and how it will work. And then we also have a presentation management solution called Marquee that networks and organizes this entire system. So they show up in a speaker ready room, they sit down with someone, they look at their presentation, it's numbered, it's validated, and then it's networked. They show up in the room at Tuesday at 2:00.
Yeah.
My stuff's in there ready to go, and it's networked, that's great. Streamed, it's recorded. So that's one way. But the piece really is, again, it's giving your speaker journey, right? It's giving them the understanding like, hey, look, I know you're presenting on Tuesday. You got to be here Sunday at 4:00 or you got to be here Monday at 5:00. And I need you for 15 minutes. You're just going to give the guy your drive. You're going to click, 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 click. Make sure everything works. His name's Tom. Your name is Steve. Be here 15 minutes before I put a lab on you. Go. Like that just has to be part of the process from now on.
Yeah.
It costs a little bit more money because you do have to have technicians. You do have to have a plan. But I'll tell you what, as a speaker who does it, when I walk in and I'm greeted and I know what to expect and I know where to go, I have zero concern about not only doing it then, but doing it again. The answer is yes. If it's not, the answer is absolutely no. And I'm not interested in taking your calls because it's a waste of my time. Yeah. And I want to be helpful to you and I want to do the best job I can. So I think putting effort there is really important.
Oh, excellent. Yes, absolutely. Excellent points. Yeah. You shared right at the, I think before we started recording, you said, you know, things are happening. People are raising their hands and saying, we we need help. And we're getting back to a lot of, I would say you're right, a lot of people are understanding we're back to a in-person. I still do talk to people that are still virtual only, a few selective.
We have some. Yep, sure.
So things are going well. You're cranking. We're wrapping up the year. Yeah. And so what challenges, anything that's sort of what's like the gnawing thing right now for you?
I think for me, well, I'll tell you what. I think one of the things is in the world of virtual, right? When virtual happened and pandemic happened, virtual came to be. The market became flooded at one moment with all of these companies who all of a sudden put up their hands and said, I do virtual. Like, I'm a lighting company, but I do virtual. I'm a drape company, but I do virtual. I'm a speaking education company, but I do virtual. Like, everybody does virtual. We had to do what we had to do. But I think what happened was it diluted down some of the quality and the performance and frankly, the outcomes of the production and production process. I think companies were able to do a lot of things more simply, save a lot of money, not expend themselves in certain ways. And so now as we come back to live, what we have found is this: things just cost more. That's one of the first things when I talk to any customer right now, what's happening in the marketplace? One of the first things to just be clear about, everything costs more. Cup of coffee, hamburger, customer conference in Las Vegas. Trust me. Is it helpful for me to know what you spent in 2019? Definitely. Because what I can do is look at 2019 and assess that. Now, I can't tell you that it's 100 or 50 or 10% more to do it. But there's expenses around events that have gone up exponentially. Things like travel, shipping, the quality of the technicians in the marketplace has shrunk significantly. So access to the right and best people always is hard. And I think for me, it's about timing. I guess that's where I'm getting is if I was to think about one thing that always sort of gnaws at me, it's timing. It's giving enough time to do things the right way, the best way, the most appropriate way with the best people. Now, I'm not suggesting we can't turn things around quickly in 30, 60 or 90 days. But if you know you're having an event next December, it would be awesome to get an RFP now versus October of next year. Yeah. And, you know, and then unfortunately, that's how some things work.
Sure.
But the more lead time that we can have, the better partner we can be, the better pricing we can offer, the better solutions. And I would also say it's timing around the RFP process. Mm. I think, you know, if you really look, here's the thing. If you're going to send me an RFP that says, here's a list of equipment I need and the dates and people that I need, I can probably turn that around pretty quickly because you've told me very specifically.
Yeah.
But what I find is someone will send an RFP for, let's make it up, technology user conference, 2,000 people in Seattle. And they want a stage design. Maybe they want creative thematic. They want a theme. They want graphics. They want experiential moments. It's probably not reasonable to say we need this back in 7 to 10 days.
Right.
You work with the timeframes that you have to do the best job that you can. But I think more of a 3 to 4 week kind of process. Because what it allows a team like ours to do is research, strategize, really ideate, and then bring forward an experience versus just a picture. And so, you know, sometimes it's the picture that wins, but what we're finding is when a company sends an RFP that says we have a general session for 2,000 people and we need it to be dynamic, that doesn't mean that's all they want. Because the group that's going to win that event is going to show them how to make their event an experience versus just an event. And so you got to have time to do those things. So long answer, time. Okay. More time.
I get that. Absolutely. All right. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about you a little okay. bit.
Sure.
So what's the guy who got a BA in psychology? How does he end up as the VP of sales for an experiential event agency called Ovation Inc.
But yeah, I wish I had a real fancy answer to it. Here's the truth of the story.
I've always loved
The idea of being with people, talking with people. Was told growing up, oh, you should be in sales someday. You can talk to anybody. I had a chance one day to sit down with a recruiter, and the recruiter said to me, man, you ever thought about being a recruiter? I'm like, no, never thought about being a recruiter. And that was really my entree into sales. Was I had a job in accounting and finance placement. I worked for a fabulous woman who taught me the finer arts of time management, prospecting. I'm probably one of the last bastions of the cold call. Like I see great value in picking up the phone and calling people who don't know me. I have no problem taking no, and I'm always pushing for yes. And I got really lucky in that process that I was introduced to an agency for a business development role through someone who knew someone, said, this guy's great on the phones. You got to get him in. And I kind of fell in love with it. I fell in love with this whole idea of events and the experiences and being backstage and seeing the customers and the impact it made. And I feel like I found my spot, and I made my way through the world of the agency, understood, sort of branding and how strategy is important to the game. And then had really good fortune to work with a regional production company for almost a decade. And really understood, got to understand equipment and people and, why the right people at the right, all the things that are so valuable. We always say it's not the gear, it's the guys or gals, right? But really having the right planning and the right team and the financial management of events. And ultimately came to Ovation because of the, I wanted to do more complex, more experiential programs, and it gave me a chance to really be part of a dynamic company with really, really strong creative and creative ideation and just an outstanding technology and production world. So and I've been lucky. I have a great home team who supports me and when I have to travel or do things. And my youngest daughter, I went to a parent teacher conference one day and they couldn't wait to meet me because they can't really explain what I do. So she said, oh, we are excited to see you because we figured you're a movie director. Your daughter says there's all these screens and lights and videos. And I wish it was that glamorous, but sometimes it is. So yeah, it's been an interesting path and I'm not sure I saw myself here, but I'm awfully glad I am.
Fabulous. And I'm sure ovationevents.com is very happy that you are there. I wanted to throw your URL in there, but we'll put it in the show notes too. Don't worry. All right. Peter, thank you for taking us on that journey. And are you ready for our lightning express rounds?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay. So we've got 7 questions.
Okay.
There's 45 seconds on the clock. There's not actually a clock.
All right. Let's
and go. Here we go. What, Peter Gentile, what is your favorite moment in the event process?
My favorite moment is standing backstage when the opening experience starts and then ends successfully. And just to see the faces of the customers that we're dealing with and the attendees, it's unbelievable. It's like nothing I've ever experienced. Outstanding.
Who do you consider your mentor?
Well, I'll tell you, my greatest mentor was my dad, who we lost earlier this year. I also happen to work for somebody who I would consider to be a great mentor. He's a great friend, leader, thinker, and I'm real fortunate, not only to call him my boss, but my friend. So,
what is your favorite ice cream truck treat?
Well, I love everything ice cream. I think in the past year, it's changed a little bit. Originally, it was something in the Almond Joy, coconut almond kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I've lately had something for a coffee Oreo that I was introduced to by my daughter. So, there's not much I probably would say no to when it comes to ice cream. So I'm kind of your guy.
Okay, awesome. And what do you do every day to stay healthy and sane?
Well, fitness for me is a big deal. I just try to do variety of things, running, walking, weights. I play golf when I can. But I do try to make it part of every single day for me. I've got wife, 3 daughters. They keep me on the move. this Ovation thing. We're on the move. So I got to have a few things to keep my head clear, but it helps me an awful lot to stay sane and to stay healthy.
If you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
I might be getting another cup of coffee, but more than likely on Thursday at this time, I'd probably be in the midst of some prospecting calls.
Fabulous. Do you have a personal mantra?
You know, I'm not going to quote it directly, but I know I'm going to attribute it to Teddy Roosevelt, which is when somebody asks you if you can do something, you say yes, and then you better start figuring out how to do it. And I really believe that. I mean, I'm one of those people that will say to you this: I know where my blind spots are. I know when I need help, but I'm always going to try to dig before I start putting my hand up. So, and sometimes fake it till you make it a little bit is also a good effort, you know, having confidence and then knowing the right people to ask. But I would suggest get to it, get doing it, and make it happen.
Absolutely. And finally, what is the best way to take care of an event professional?
Well, I think number one and first and foremost is to say thank you. It's to just really be personally appreciative. I'm a huge fan of the handwritten note. It's a little difficult right now because of what I used to love to do is send them a handwritten note to the office. Easy. Now everybody's at home. Yep. And it's like you feel a little weird. Like, can I get your home address? Like, so that's been tough. That's one way, certainly, because I do feel like that doesn't happen enough. Genuine thanks, right?
Yeah, I agree.
I think the other thing is there is some real value in the right moment. And I don't mean this as a, because there's wrong moments for this. But let's say your event leader reports into the CMO. And I can think of a couple situations I have like this where I know them both well, fairly close, right? But being able to talk to that person or share some insights about them to their boss in a positive way, always a good thing, right? And then I think the other thing is, look, sometimes there's things everybody likes. I like coffee. You might like tea. I don't know what it is. But a thoughtful small gift at different moments is a nice touch. I'm never one who's like, you got to send them the biggest giant basket with all kinds of craziness. Because to me, it feels a little bit like a bribe. I don't go with that. Yep. I go a little more on the soft end. But I'd suggest the most important thing you can do is just thank them for the confidence and continue to be a good partner.
Excellent. Thank you, Peter, for confidence and continuing to be a good partner. This brings us to the end of our epic episode of Speaking of Events. And I'm sad because I loved it. Where can people find you if they would like to connect with you?
There's a couple of ways. Email certainly, pgentile@ovationevents.com. Our website is ovationevents.com. I'd encourage you to please take a look at some of the things we're doing.
Yes, please do. It's awesome.
And our team would be privileged to speak with anyone who's really looking to simplify these events. We know they can be complex, find unique ways to reach your audience, and really, really drive change and dynamic interactions in 23.
Absolutely. We'll put all of that in the show notes. Thank you, Peter. This was A plus. Excellent. I love that we were twinsies with our
Yeah, swag. I thought that was a good touch for today. So I'm glad you have yours.
I have to
guess there'll be some good karma, some good joking and fun that'll come from it. So
absolutely. I promise to continue to forward any and all messages we get on for Ovation Events. If you ever get a call Ovation speaker training, please send it our way. And thank you to our audience, to our listeners. This was hardcore with lots of really, really good stuff. We hope you got gleaned some fantastic insights from it. And remember that if you like events, if you love events, even if you loathe events, not that anybody does, but if you do for whatever reason, tell someone about this podcast and come on, give us some stars. Look, Peter Gentile, 5 stars right there. Absolutely. Thank you again for taking time to speak with me today.
My pleasure.
And I appreciate everybody's time. Thank you. And remember to, whatever you speak about, remember to be speaking of events. Bye.
Speaking of Events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get Ovation.